Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that for this morning. Thank you for the music, and just we thank you for just so we can have time to think upon you and sing praises to you, God. We do honor you. Pray you just meet with us this morning, and you'd be our teacher, and God, that would reveal yourself to us like never before, and that we could gain encouragement and strength, and that, Lord, we do give it to you. I pray you would just anoint me, that I just speak things to the Spirit, and that you would just open every heart to receive your words. And so we give this time to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Won't you this morning, I want us to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 27. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 27, and we'll have an overhead to start with. And if you notice the title to the message this morning is Strength to Pray. It may not be the best title, but it's coming from what I was thinking about. But Strength to Pray, where you would gain and be motivated and have a strength to pray because of our position with the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's doing. So let's read that. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 27. For you, O Lord of hosts, O God of Israel, have made this revelation to your servant. Now, I kind of skip on the thing if you're reading your Bible and go to the end. I've kind of, but to make the point, it says, therefore, your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. Now, what you have here, you know, it's like God has given a revelation to David, made this revelation to your servant, us, and because God made this revelation, David has courage to pray. His courage to pray. You see, God, in a way, has initiated this. So we want to look at this and think about what we see here and what God's speaking to us and empowering us. The strength to pray, and where we come from, the strength to pray comes from hearing God. You know, I have a strength to pray, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to do this. That's not what this is talking about. It's not at all what this is talking about. The strength from pray to pray comes from hearing God. Therefore, one needs to be hearing God to have the strength to pray the way we're supposed to pray. All right? God is involved in our prayers from the very beginning, before we start. Now, note here, there's something very interesting to pay attention to. As you read this verse, and it says, you have made this revelation, you have made this revelation. Well, that literally means, this word, made this revelation, it literally means uncovered the ear. Isn't that fascinating? God's made a revelation. What it means, the reason is, God has uncovered the ear. Like there's a couple, you know, you picture you talk to your kids or something, they sit there, put the hands over their ears, you know, look at you. Now, but, you know, might be cute just before you spank them. But anyway, other than that, you see? And God uncovers your ears. And so you have this interesting thing that we're, David is saying here, what David is saying here, that he found courage to pray because the Lord had spoken to him and uncovered his ear. Y'all with me? I mean, so this is when he says, I found courage to pray. Well, this courage from pray, to pray, has come from an interaction with God. It just, hey, you know, we'll meet here at 5 o'clock, we'll pray, you know, and it says, okay, let's go. Now, I'm being a little flippant, but I'm driving home the point. No, this is to pray, when we go before the Lord, the Lord uncovers our ears so that we can hear him. And when we can hear him, we have strength to pray because we have a word from God. That's what this is saying. Now, So when you look at it like this, this is not, you know, what some people would think, and non-believers, this is not a fanciful, wishful thinking, but this is revealed truth from God to be fulfilled. This is the truth from God, and David saw this, and it's to be fulfilled, and he had strength to pray because of God's involvement in hearing God. Amen? You see the connection here? We're making the connection here. So, when we, and this is just like in the New Testament, you follow this through, it's a New Testament, it's just like God uncovers the ears for those to hear the gospel. Here's the gospel. I mean, just imagine people walking around, you know, this world just like this, and he'll uncover their ears, and they hear something. They hear something because he did something. He did something. So the view here. Now, and this ties in, if you will, into the New Testament. It's like in the Lord's Prayer, just like in the Lord's Prayer, David has prayed, your kingdom come, thy will be done. You see this? So David uncovered his ears, and he prayed, but it's like, I heard you. Your will, thy kingdom come, your will be done. There's a connection. There's just not isolation going here. Now, so we look at that, and we're thinking about this powerful prayers. I mean, we can make up our prayers. You know, there are no ends. But God says, no, you are to hear me, and if you hear me, you will know how to pray. And if you hear me and you pray like I told you, I will answer that prayer. See, all of a sudden your vision changes about prayer. Your vision changes about life. So you look at this. Now, I'm going to add something else here, which is fascinating, is we're looking at this strength to pray. And is, again, your kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord's Prayer. Yeah. Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, thy will be done. That's what our prayers should be connected to. Amen? All right. And I want to make, you know, kind of repetition to hit, make that point, because the next one's tied to it, and it's really interesting, and because Jesus tells us to pray in faith. He does it. He does it several times. He says, pray in faith. And he tells, the Apostle Paul tells us, pray in faith. The Apostle Paul. So you have where Jesus said, have faith, pray in faith. And the Apostle Paul says, have faith. So all this is working together with the strength to pray, God uncovering your ear. Now, if you look at Galatians, I have overhead here, and just drives home this point. It says Galatians 3:9. Those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Okay, that's a really sweet verse. But what does it mean? What does it mean? I mean, it's just sweet, but what does it really mean? Those who are of faith. Who are those? Well, those are trust in Christ. Is that it? You know, just one time, one and done? What is it? Though her faith. Are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Abraham was identified in his very being, in his very person, as a man of faith. From A to Z, all the way he messed up and everything, he always was seen as a man in faith. His life was permeated by faith, and he walked his life in faith. And he says, just like you do, just like he did. Which means our life is permeated by faith, and we walk in faith, just like Abraham did. Okay, driving the point home here. So, right here, from faith, in the scripture, from faith, we gain strength. Now, let's look at the Abraham, this man of faith and learn how he received faith. What's the definition of faith? I'm just ask you, don't say anything, but what is your definition of faith? Well, I just really believe, you know, that X, Y, Z. I just really believe whatever, whatever. It's not what the Bible didn't tell us that. It doesn't say that in the Scripture. I mean, that's what we think it is a lot of times. But what is faith? Well, let's look at Abraham, the man of faith, and see what he did and what we can copy from him and walk in. Now, I want you to look at Hebrew, and this is different translations have this a little different, but look at Hebrews 11:8. Now, that whole chapter of Hebrews 11 is fascinating on faith, and it all basically says the same thing when you look at the same principle. And that they all believe like Abraham. But look at Abraham 11:8. Now, I'm going to use the New American Standard Version just because the way they, you know, tie the words together here. So Abraham, the man of faith, Hebrews 11, New American Standard Version, says this. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed, and went. The man of faith, when he was called, obeyed and went. And I ask you, when did Abraham go? When he called. Who called him? Who called him? God. He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything until God called him. And he got called him. And it's like, whoa, all right? But that's still not faith. That's still not faith. God called him each other. Man, he obeyed and went once he was called. That's faith. That's Christian faith. Not what we think up. Not what we really want, you know. What faith is, and I mean, that you should stencil this in your forehead. Okay, almost. Faith is hearing God and then obeying. Take out either one of those things and you don't have faith. I just obey. What? Well, I just obey because this is what you're supposed to. You know, there's a word for that in which we live our life by a lot. It's presumption. Honey, you'll love it. Yeah, that's presumption. Okay, we can invest here and I know we'll make a million. It's presumption. See, that's not faith. That's presumption. You know, that's obeying without hearing. And hearing and you don't do anything, there's a word for that too. You hear and humans, well, I don't know. I don't know, you know, God, I don't know, or you read, you know, and you hear and you don't do anything. You know what that is? Disobedience. See? So, you hear, you go. You have two choices, you know, and if you mess up on either end, disobedience, if you don't do anything, and presumption, if you just do stuff without hearing God, it's presumption. Oh, God, bless my presumption, you know. Oh, God, don't judge me for my disobedience. Now, I'm saying all that because we wonder about our situations all the time, and God is like, you can just see him up there just shaking his head. Faith is hearing God and then obeying. Now, Jesus says, pray in faith. What's he telling you? Pray in faith. Okay, I got to get a list, and I'll just pray in faith. And God will answer all the prayers I put here, all the prayers that I have presumptuously listed, he will answer. And I'm going to pray 3 hours every morning. You're not going to answer it. It's presumption. Faith is hearing God. And when you hear God, then you pray consistent with what God told you, and God says, I'll answer that. I'll answer it. Because I told you. This is why it's really important to read your Bible. Because it's God's word. It's God's Word. See, we're not supposed to make up our prayers. Have you ever seen certain religions? And I'm really amazed, too, at certain religions. I'm not going to say any of them that are dedicated to praying to a false god. I mean, they'll put the... discipline is unbelievable. Praying, well, it's a false god, so they didn't hear anything. It's just presumption. And just between me, you, and the fence post, it's a waste of time. You know, God bless you. Bend over 4 hours and pat him on the head. You know, it's like, it's a waste of time. You need to pray. Not like that. Not like that. You know, you need to be in awe of them. I am in awe that anybody can do that for that many hours for nothing. That puts me in awe, you know. See? Do you see what I'm saying? The reality, that's the reason we need to have truth. You know, that truth, have truth. Now, faith is hearing God and obeying. Without hearing God, all we do is just presumption. Did that just put an interesting twist to your life? All right. Now, there's the big picture. There's disciplines from the Scripture, how we grow up that are consistent with the Scripture, read the Bible, stuff like that. And so we run our life. We don't have to freeze and not make one move until God tells us to make it. But we're moving in that general, like it tells Abraham, he walked in faith. Okay? It means he was occupied. With the things God said. He was just occupied. And therefore he made certain decisions. And he did certain things. And he had specific words too. Specific words. Now so this whole fast thing. It's like to have strength. We need to hear God. Before we act. And before we pray. All God's people said. Amen. If we don't. Wait to hear. It's presumption. It's presumption. You know. Now, somebody, would you pray for me? I said, well, yeah, I'll pray just because you ask it. You know, I know this person faithful, and I just pray, God, you continue to reveal themselves to you, reveal to me how I should pray, and things like that. But I recognize that I will pray, you know, and being, because I don't know what God's told you. And it says pray for one another. And so that's I can be obedient to that prayer. It's praying for one another. I don't know where everything's going, but I do pray the best for you. I pray that God revealed themselves to you. I pray that God would show you exactly what's going on. You see what I'm saying? But it's not just me thinking things up, or not me just jumping through hoops because somebody else thought something up. You see what I'm saying? And you'll find this out too. You'll find out God will tell people things. And they'll say, I don't have any doubt. But here's the thing. God didn't tell it to me. He may have told you, but he didn't tell me. Doesn't mean he didn't tell you. I'm just saying he didn't tell me, you know. So I will pray with you based on what God told you. You and I'll even add into that, say, God, if there's anything you want to reveal to them more than what they see, I pray that you would do that for them. See, because we're independently hearing for God, and I don't, and this doesn't work either. I'm going to pray for what you should hear from God. You don't pray what somebody else should hear from God, you know. I mean, you can pray, like we're to pray for people's salvation. God, I just pray you would move in these people's lives. I came in contact with them, and I know you love them. So I pray that the God of salvation would touch these people. Now, that's a general prayer that is consistent with Scripture. How many of you had a specific prompting by God to pray for somebody because God touched them? You have. That happens. That happens, see, and you better do that, because it's disobedient if you don't do that, and God told you to do that for a reason, and you don't know what's going on. Now, I'm saying all these things, and I don't need to be wrapping you around in circles. But point of it is that God is involved in what God does, and His truth He tells us. And we need to respond to His truth and do what He tells us to do. And that means we need to pray how He tells us to pray. A good prayer, when I've learned, oh, Lord, I don't know what is going on. Lord, I don't have a clue what's going on with me or anybody else. Lord, reveal to me how I can pray. Reveal to me, you know, how I can cooperate with what You're doing. Reveal to me, God, and I will pray along those lines. See? Because I realize it is God's moving. And I need to pay attention to Him. And to have faith. I'm here and I have faith. Come here and I'll pray for you. That's presumption plus arrogance. Just add that to it. Now, how many times you heard that? Pray here. I'll pray for you and God will do that. I don't know. I'm not going. You know, I'm just not. See? But God will reveal. You need to pray for somebody. You need to say something. You need to hear God and do what God says. That's faith. When you say you're praying in faith, you're saying, I've heard God and I will pray based on what He says to me. Praying in faith doesn't mean, okay, I'll pray. I'll just hit my knees here and throw them up. That's presumption. Amen? Faith. To pray in faith, you have to hear what God says. Now, a lot of my prayers, God, I don't have a clue what's going on. You know? And I kind of think that's a prayer of faith. I acknowledge that I know nothing, you know. And God, I can almost hear God say, amen, you don't. You know? Okay. But it's with that there's an openness. God, show me so I can move forward, you know. And some doesn't God surprise you? You know, I mean, I shouldn't do this. Sometimes I look at the Lord and I say, you got to be kidding. I mean, come on. You know, that's not what I had in mind like that. He said, but that's what I had in mind. And you had to do this. I want you to do this because I was going to do this. Okay. Y'all with me? See? So we look at this. Now, so we look at this truth. When Jesus tells us, I'm going to read this whole section. When Jesus tells us to have faith, He is saying, listen to God and do what He says. Jesus says, pray in faith. Okay? Jesus says, listen to God and do what He said. That's what He said. Same thing. Therefore, when God tells us to throw a mountain, when God tells us to throw a mountain into the sea, we pray and the mountain will obey us because we do what God told us to do. With me? I tell you what, I'm going to try this out. This is going to be the coolest thing ever. I'm going to go to this mountain and I'm going to say, okay, go into the sea. You know, I do. You have a selfie and then I took a video of it. Watch it, you know. And what's God doing in heaven? He's like, ah. What in the world is He doing? Talk about miss the point. Miss the point. But if God, and Jesus said, this is what He said in Scripture. He goes, and he starts off with this. He starts off with this, and this is skipped, or it's missing. He goes, pray in faith and tell the mountain. That means, when you hear from God and He tells you, tell the mountain. See, that's what He's saying. But we skipped it. Okay, I'm going to show you faith. I'm going to bust the buttons on my shirt. I'm having faith. Throw the mountain into the water. He goes, that's not what I said. No, I said, let's just have faith. When I tell you to speak to that mountain and go into the water, it will go into the water because I told you it would go into the water. And He means your problem that you have whatever it is, when I tell you I'm going to take care of it, you speak it because I'll take care of it because I just told you I would take care of it. You heard, now you obey. All God's people. Amen. Amen. And by the way, this is what God's talking to. He's talking to everybody. This is the Christian life. This is the Christian life. We're supposed to do that. That's like, wow, I can't imagine that happening. You know, only a few people can do that. God goes, no, 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 no. That's the Christian life. That's normal. That's normal. Well, my life isn't like that. He goes, you ain't hearing much. I hate to tell you, but that's what he's saying. But my life doesn't do that because he tells me that. You're not hearing. You want to do something to show off. I want you to hear me and do what I say. Do what I say. And if you hear me and do what I say, guess what? God will get the glory and people won't even recognize you in the equation. Well, come on, I need a little glory. A little bit. Nothing. You get nothing. See? So, we look at this whole thing. When we see this, we have strength. Now, here comes back to, we have strength to pray because God spoke to us. I won't pray. God's not telling you nothing. Well, whilst you're talking about verbal word or impression, yeah. But I'm also talking about reading the scriptures. I'm talking about reading the scriptures. This is truth. And then we start adjusting ourselves to the scriptures. And then we start adjusting ourselves what God reveals to apply to our life that we understand. And then God starts moving. And then when we do that, God gets the glory. In fact, that's a real good key to know that something's amiss is when you get the glory. When you get the glory, that means whatever you did it in such a way that you took away from God and put it on yourself. And God's not pleased with that. God's not pleased with that at all. So here we have. We have strength to pray because God speaks to us. He reveals himself to us. He uncovers our ears to hear. We do not gain strength praying to an empty sky or a deaf, impotent God. We have strength because God will do what he says he will do. But he said he'd move this mountain, just speak to the mountain, he'd go, and I'd speak to the mountain, it doesn't happen, I'd do this, and it never did happen. What did he tell you to do? Well, he just said speak to the mountain. He didn't tell you to do that. He says in Mark, says have faith in God, say to the mountain. Say to the mountain, when? Have faith in God. What happened when you had faith in God? He told you something. He told you something. Oh, okay. Now speak. It's done deal. Done deal. And so he said, as Christians, we hear God and we show God's majesty because we do what God says. So he will get the glory. He will get the glory. Now, we have, when we have strength to pray, now this is kind of taking a step here. When we have strength to pray, God not only answers us, but he impacts the world around us. He impacts the world around us. Now, Daniel is a great example. Of all the people in faith, when you read the scripture, which is kind of encouraging, you read there's faults with all God's prophets. Every one of them except Jesus. You know, I mean, they just people and they mess up. I mean, he tells us, you know, he ain't messed up again. There's one that doesn't. He never does. Really, it's Daniel. He never says anything to Daniel. Like, Daniel messed up. He just doesn't see that. Daniel was just hitting on all cylinders all the time, okay? It's like, so Daniel is a good example. And Daniel, like today's Christians, was an irritation to the pagan society. He's an irritation. The rulers went, oh man, he can do. And it even says that Daniel, he did his work. He did his work perfectly. Just work. Whatever the work was in the kingdom, you know, he did. And he kept getting promoted because he did such good work. Well, all the other guys in the, you know, court, they didn't like it, you know, because he was so qualified, they irritated him. And he says, you know, and so what they say, we gotta do something about this guy. I mean, I'm just sick of him, you know, Mr. Do-Good or whatever. I mean, you can just hear it right there. And so, and they found a way. And I'll just read the verse before. And these men, there's no overhead for this, but in Daniel 6:5 it says this. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for a complaint against David, against Daniel." We can't find anything. We're trying to prove this guy wrong. He doesn't do anything wrong. King loves him. Everybody loves him. He does everything just right. And so we can't find any complaint against Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. We'll take his foundation, the law of his God, his dedication to his God, and we're going to find a chink in his armor there, and we can use it against him. He's done everything else right, but we're going to use his God and his dedication to his God to bring him down. And that's what they did. So Daniel's enemies determined that his belief in the one true God and the one true God was his weakness. That's his weakness. And so what they did, I mean, it's just brilliant. It tells you about people, who they are, the king. So they talked to the king. Said, "Listen, hey, king, we're buddies." They all did the high five. You know, they was excited about this. "We just think the whole world, your kingdom, should not worship or pray to anybody but you for 30 days. And so the king, who liked Daniel, by the way, so the king goes, "Hey, that ain't bad. That's not bad. I think, yeah, I'm worth 30 days of prayer, you know. I'm worth 30 days and just worshiping me. You know, that's good." Like that. And they said, "Okay, that's what we'll do." Well, and then they said, "And if anybody dares to worship anybody else, let's throw them in the lion's den." Got it. I'm into this worship. And we'll throw him into the lion's den. Right? So Daniel hears it. He's not panicked. You know, I mean, he, when you read it, it's like, all right, here we go again. You know. So. And so what he did do, he just kind of let, he'll just do what I always do. Just pray about it. It's in God's hands. "Lord, you've told me to do this. I'm doing it by faith. And I'll trust you. I'm not changing anything. I don't care what they say." And I don't have an overhead for this, but it says, when Daniel, this is Daniel 6:10, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in the upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he had previously done. Always done it. That's what it is. That is not changing anything. So what we have here in this unjust, impossible situation, and for Daniel, put yourself there. Daniel was totally at peace with God. And of course, Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. I mean, they threw him in the lion's den. And this is really important. They threw him in the lion's den. But what happened, it only served, the lion dens only served as an avenue for God to reveal himself. They threw him in the lion's den for praying. But God used it as an avenue. God was going, "Oh my God, Gabriel, there we did. Daniel's in the lion's den. What are we going to do now? I got to come down there and kill all these lions." And it's just like, "Oh my God, what a mess is this?" You know, he goes, "No," if he's talking to Gabriel, which I doubt he is. But he said, "No, this is working out perfect. God's telling Gabriel, this is working out perfect. Everybody's going to be able to see God now because this is working out perfect, just like I wanted it." But, you know, for it to work out perfect, I needed a Daniel. I needed a Daniel. But we got a Daniel. He's in the lion's den. It's working perfectly. How many of you thrown in the lion's den would just be, oh my God, here, I did everything right. You don't listen to me. Look at them. They don't do it. Oh God. This is how I get paid back. You know, pray. What are you talking about? Pray. You threw me in the lion's den. You know. Don't we do that? We complain when things go wrong. Which shows our lack of faith. Daniel's at peace. They throw him in the lion's den. He's at peace. And that's not what we get that from Scripture. And God uses it as an avenue. He always intended it to be an avenue. He always intended you to be an avenue. So, not only that, God not only took care of Daniel's immediate situation, but he also used it to impact the world situation. The king was so stunned that God delivered Daniel from the lion's den that he, the king, acknowledged Daniel's God is the eternal God. He said, oh my God. Convince me, buddy. I'm on board. Daniel, me and Daniel. Oh my God. He is the God. But he needed a Daniel in the lion's den to do that. See, we won't go to the lion's den. Oh God, just show your power through me. All right. No, 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 not that way. No, no, no. You know, I just kind of want a light from heaven and, you know, everything will work out good. You know. So, no, you got to have a lion's den so I can show my strength. The lion's den is key to show the power of God. It was key that Daniel prayed. Then that made it easy for God to put him in the lion's den. So being in the lion's den, it could be an avenue to show God's strength and his power. I want to tell you all something. And it's the absolute truth. That's God's method of work. It is. That's the way God works. God, why am I going through this? I don't have time to talk to all of you but about what you're going through. But that's why you're going through what you're going through. Because God is showing his strength through your situation. He just needs you to pray and be obedient, hear him, and then do what he says. So listen to this. Fascinating. This is what the king says after the saves Daniel. And not an overhead here, but Daniel 6, verses 25 through 27. Then the king wrote to all the peoples and nations and the languages that dwell in the whole earth. I mean, this king is impressed. I said, hey, Ken, take this letter down. We got to tell everybody what happened here. This is unbelievable. See? And this is what he says to everybody in all the earth. He said, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. How do you do that? I mean, he was hitting it on all cylinders. He's like the number one worker in the whole place. It wasn't until he's thrown in the lion's den. God needed the lion's den for the king to do this. And he needed the Daniel for him to do this. He needed the Daniel. And he goes, you need to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to no end. He delivers, he rescues, he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who saved Daniel from the power of the lions. The king was impressed. The king was impressed. But what would you do to impress a king? It takes something drastic. And God said, I got this thing. We're going to change the whole nation. We got this thing. And we got a guy, at least one, we got a guy. He'll stick up. He'll pray no matter what they say. And so we'll use him because he is the best witness. He is the most holy one I know on earth. And because he is the most obedient, and because he is the most holy one, I can throw him into the lion's den. because he'll never waver. He's the one that'll take the biggest pressure because he will steadfast. Oh God, deliver me, because I'm not going to stand fast. I'm going to cry through the whole thing. I'm going to hold on to the jailer's legs and scream, hold on to their clothes and cry down in there. And I tell you what, the lion's probably won't eat me because it'll be scared to death. I'll be screaming like a maniac down there. See? It's like, and God goes, yeah, maybe we shouldn't send Wallace. But with Daniel, we can do this. Daniel can pull this off. You see? And what did Daniel do? He just believed God, trusted God, and did what he was told to do. Daniel was just like me. I mean, we could line up. Daniel was pretty old. He's probably about my age. I don't know if you know that. So you could just pinch Daniel, you pinch me, you know, and just like, I might have even been better shape than Daniel. I don't know. Like that. But it didn't make any difference. It was a conviction, and it was the heart, and it was the focus on the living God. That's why you choose people. That's how you use people. And these people, because they hear God, they have strength to pray. Because when they pray, things happen because they hear in God. And God moves powerfully when they pray. And God moves powerfully when they pray because they hear God. They know what's in the scripture. Amen? And we all have the same opportunity. Not the same commitment, but we have the same opportunity. Now, so when we look at this, right here, so when we look at this, it helps us to understand that, you know, God used Daniel's strength to pray to demonstrate God's power in heaven and on earth. Now, for God to move mightily, we only need to hear God and have strength to pray. Okay. See, when I say this, doesn't that just roll off the tongue? God says, well, what do we need to do to see God move? It's I need somebody to hear God. That's it. That's it. I don't care what he looks like. I don't care the shape, male or female. I just need somebody to hear God. That's all I need. And I just need him to obey God. When they hear, then that's all I need. I don't need anything else. I just pray. No, you don't pray for that. You just be that. Hear, and then do what God tells you to do. We all should have this strength to pray. And I mean, you know, and I say this often. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm forgiven. I'm going to heaven. Amen. Do you really believe it? Okay, you stand on that, and I'm going to throw you in the lion's den. Give me a couple of days to think on this. Think on this. Because that's the commitment that God expects. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, it's not a lukewarm commitment, you know. Will you? I mean, what if you get? I'm going to share the gospel with you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. And I want you to believe, you know, and then stand there. That as soon as you believe, we're going to throw you into the lion's den. That comes with a salvation message. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that. You know that? I mean, this Jesus thing's good, but, you know, gosh, that's kind of a big commitment there. Well, in a way, that's what God has expected, in a way, and that's where he takes you. And as the church as a whole, by the way, there's a whole bunch of Jews in Persia here captive. But Daniel was the only one he picked. You don't hear nothing about the rest of them. You know, and I think there's a good reason why you don't hear anything about the rest of them. Now, so don't want us to lose sight. We're talking about praying and about God revealing things to us, and we should pray. And, you know, we really should pray because we're not of this world. We're not of this world. We're of God's kingdom. We're of God's kingdom, whether we like it or not. Therefore, we should function like this in God's kingdom. Look, if you will, to 2 Corinthians 5:1 and the New Testament. We just jumped to the New Testament. And it says this, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Do we trust God? Do we trust God? Are we hearing God? Are we doing what he says? 2 Corinthians 5:1 says this, for we know, we've underlined that, we know. We know. For we know that if the tent of this earthly home is destroyed, he is talking about us. He's talking about our soul. And he's talking about the body as being the tent of our soul. And he's saying here, for we know that if the tent, our body, of this earthly home is destroyed, we have a building, a resurrected body from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, it doesn't say it, but I believe that Daniel believed it. This is what you do. Destroy my body, I'm home in heaven. That's what, hallelujah, you know. I believe he believed it, and I believe everything about him stood on that. But it's the same for us. Do you know what happens if your body is destroyed? Right now, just destroyed. However you see fit being destroyed, you get a heavenly body. I mean, that's the curse of dying. You know, I mean, we think, oh, I don't want to die. I'm not in a big hurry myself. But you get a new body. Okay, Wallace, you're out. And by the way, do you know there's no shortcuts? There's no shortcuts, you know. Linda tells me she's going in the rapture. Now, she's trying to get a shortcut. I know she is. She said, I ain't dying. Now, I have kind of a feeling that she can get, anybody can get away with it, she can. But it's like, I'm just afraid, you know, she'll be gone. I'm thinking, okay, I'm here, I'm stuck. I didn't, you know. Every time you have to haul her up in the house, I can't find her. I thought, okay, there she went, and I'm stuck here. Anyway, but what you're saying, the whole thing is that when this body is destroyed, we immediately go to be with Jesus and have a heavenly body. That is our, you know, final destination, you know. So when God looks at it, it's like, no, I got this. You just come here sooner or later, and, you know, you're looking forward to coming to me. Yeah. Y'all see what I'm saying? So we have this, but then we have this peace, and it's very interesting. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 5:7. We know, we are certain, we are courageous, we are powerful, but here's the peace. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith and not by sight. You don't see it. Earthly. You don't see it. Daniel went up and he prayed, and what he knew, in this world, he's going to be thrown in the lion's den. That's what he knew. That's what he saw. But by faith, and what you couldn't see, is he had a home in heaven if he was. And that's fine. That's fine. And he could go. He had strength to pray because he knew and committed to that truth. And God's asked us to be committed to that truth. We are absolutely secure walking with uncovered ears, hearing God. Therefore, we never give up. We never give up. I love, I have an overhead, Luke 18:1. Jesus said, they should always pray and not give up. They should always pray and not give up. Well, he knew what was going to happen. You should always pray and not give up. Okay, we'll close out here. Strength to pray comes only from Jesus. Listen, those poor folks that are praying 24/7, and you know, I mean, it's a waste of time. It is a waste of time. They're deceived people. So the strength to pray that's legitimate only comes from people. Don't ever look at these people, oh, they're so dedicated. They're misled. They're misled, doomed to hell. There's no devotion there. There's a devotion there, but it's a sad, sad situation. It should make you weep, make you want to cry. Don't honor their devotion. Their devotion will take them nowhere. Nowhere. See? Nowhere. Strength to pray correctly comes from Jesus. This is why we always first present Jesus to someone. Salvation and power come from Jesus. For God so loved the world, 3:16, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus said, have faith. What did he say when he said, have faith? Jesus said, have faith. He says it. He said, hear God and do what he says. Have faith. For God so loved the world. Jesus said this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, have everlasting life. I have faith. Because Jesus told me, I heard it, and I'm going to stand and base everything on that. And then that's the bedrock to move forward. To move forward. Move forward. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you that you tell us to boldly come before your throne. Boldly come before your throne. But we boldly come to him. We first want to hear. We want to read and understand. We want to hear and we want to pray, Lord, and pray with your power, because we're praying the things you want, praying for what you desire, praying, God, to see you strong. So, God, I just thank you for that. And, Lord, I pray that, I know in my heart, each one of us have experienced a glimmer that where God spoke to us and we prayed and we saw things unfold. That is the normal. That's not the unusual. That is to be the normal. And we thank you, God, that you love us this much. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.